All right, if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and get that guy off the screen. All right. They had to talk me into that. Oh, this makes me ill when I look at it. No, the attempt there, let me tell you, that was some ideas. The attempt there was to keep me from going 20 minutes in a recap of last week. And so hopefully it'll work. All right, we'll see. No, I hate, because I know there are a lot of you that weren't able to be here. This is a part two of message we started last week. And I know there's a lot of folks here that weren't here last week. It just pains me when you miss out. So anyway, but I'm going to refrain. You got a little bit of a picture there. But we have been in this series on prayer, which can best defined by talking with God. And remember this. Okay? Remember this about prayer. You kind of have to look at it for what it is as opposed to what you've always been told or what you've seen others do. Or perhaps you were in some denomination, this one or some other denomination. Well, I've always heard this, always thought that. The greatest thing to remember is to not let traditions or superstition make its way into the truth. Well, I've always heard, I always taught, I always saw, okay, but the question is, take a look at what the scriptures teach us, because humans are real bad, okay? Mankind's real bad about just kind of allowing a tradition to become the truth, and then all of a sudden they don't know where it came from, but it has to be the truth because that's the way we've always done it. Prayer is an incredible thing when you think about it, but it also is very simple. And it has a lot to do with the personality of the person. Everybody communicates in different ways. We've been talking about that over the weeks. Okay, first week we talked about attitudes. We saw a couple of attitudes. Persistence, right, and humility, or having a humble attitude. And then last week we started taking a look at this whole thought of what Jesus gave us when he gave us, many people call this the Lord's Prayer, but in reality you could probably call it the disciples' prayer. Because it was, Jesus was asked the question, Lord, teach us to pray. Right? And when Jesus gave this prayer, it was a model. It was kind of something that you could follow, not something that you would just repeat. Okay? Not just something that you would rote memory and just say over and over and over again. Because there's no communication in that. We talked about that last week. So as you take a look down through, we talked about last week, genuine nature. Number two, personal nature. And let me tell you something there, because that's going to play into a whole lot that I say today. Genuine nature is it comes from your heart. But personal nature is that Jesus introduces this thought of our Father. Personal pronoun, our Father or my Father. Therefore, you have this picture. This picture of a father-child relationship. You have this picture of Jesus instructing his disciples to address God as Father. So God has related to us in a parental look, or if you will, a father look. Now, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, remember, I realize there's probably a whole lot of you in here that didn't have a great father that is a human father growing up. Don't let that skew who your heavenly Father is. Okay? Don't let it happen. Doesn't matter how bad the father you may have had here, that doesn't mean it has anything to do with your heavenly Father. So you have this picture that Jesus introduces this. Remember, in the Old Testament, Moses, David, Abraham never addressed God as Father. So there's something that Christ did at the cross that made our relationship God now with different. That's why I called it a personal relationship, a familial, family relationship. So there's a lot to be learned from that, from last week, but it's going to play into this week a whole lot. There's a lot to be learned with understanding the father-child relationship when you are trying to understand prayer. What does it look like? Right. What does that look like? Well, you have to think about the relationship of a child addressing a parent. Okay, now, so again, we talked about the personal nature, you know, and then we went down to a couple other things: the remembering nature, remember respect for who God is, and understanding your father, like being respectful. And then the final is submissive. That is, it's his will, not mine. We talked about that last week. But I want to jump on ahead now and look at number And look at number five. Again, there were eight things you could learn about prayer from what Jesus gave us in this Lord's Prayer, if that's what you call it. Really, it's a model. And again, I want you to see that these are the things that Jesus says that you talk to your Father about. Okay. Number five then is what I'm going to call the provisional nature of prayer. Okay. So through the whole thing, number one was the genuine nature of prayer. Number two was the personal nature. Number three was the remembering nature, that is, respect. And number four is the submissive nature of prayer, thy will be done. But number five is pretty self, people know about this one. It's in chapter 6, verse 11. It says, give us this day our daily bread. So again, here, don't miss this. Here's the picture. Here's the picture that a lot of us don't understand. You do realize the reason that our country has a hard time with this, give us this day our daily bread, is that there are very few people that struggle with having enough to eat in our country. That does not mean it doesn't happen. But I want you to know that this is the wealthiest nation on earth. It is also the wealthiest nation in the history. Okay? In all of history, on this planet. And so when I go to other places, when I go to other countries, third world countries and other things, these verses mean a lot more to them. But you have a Father who is interested because He is a Father. You have a Father that is interested in providing for you. Okay? So the providing nature of prayer. So it makes sense that a father has a strong provisional nature. Okay? And let me just tell you this. You have a heavenly Father that knows you. But remember this. Remember that there's a difference between needs and wants. Now again, that doesn't mean just because you want something that it's necessarily wrong. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is there's a difference between needs and wants. And really what's being talked about here is give us this day our daily bread. In other words, Lord, I come to you for those needs that I have. Like a child would come to a father. And I find it an interesting thing. See, I learn a lot from just stopping long enough to ask yourself a question, okay? It started off with our Father, my Father, so we're to relate to God as a Father in prayer. This is what Jesus is telling us. And then we come down to this provision, these needs that we have. Therefore, as a child goes to a parent, okay, for different needs, but remember that the Father already knows a lot of the needs, but these are things that are shared. And again, I just will tell you this personally. And I'm a sinful father. I can tell you this, I do have a strong, okay, I have a strong motivation inside of me to provide for my children. I just do. I am driving at the end of this week, and our second child, Dorothy, is graduating from college this weekend. Okay? But you know, I've told everybody gets a good laugh out of it. Yep, the last check has been written. All right? And why do I think that way? Because so much of my time, I think about trying to get my children what they need. Right? It's just something that's instinctive. And I want you to know, I think that's the picture here. Jeff, why are you relating yourself with God? Well, because He's related to us as a father, and I'm a father. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying that but I am saying that I have that inside of me. I know what that feels like. Okay? I know what that feels like. And I'm telling you, and I am a father with limited abilities and limited resources. There's only so much I can do. Okay? There are certain things I will not do. I will not go into debt to provide them a whole lot of wants. Okay? There's certain things I've learned that I'm not going to do. But if I can do it, I'm going to try to do it. Okay? Now, does that mean you only provide what your children need? No, of course not. If they have some wants, yeah, sure. I mean, don't you like, I do enjoy every once in a while giving things to my kids. It's not necessarily that they need it, but yeah, different things that go around. But I've learned as being a parent is that I have to know my kid. I have to know my child. And I have to know, I think God's the same way. If you can handle it, then yeah, you can do it. But I tell you, so many times you want in your child's life, giving them everything they want is not smart. Okay? And allowing them to think that the whole world revolves around them is not smart either. Therefore, I do know that God, your Father, wants to teach you to be selfless. That is, not to be self-centered. Because I found the most miserable people in our world today are those that are self-centered. So a lot of time, God provides for you the things that you need, not necessarily what you want. Because the things that you might want will lead down the road to some things, places you don't need to go. So can you trust that He knows what's best? Interesting, isn't it? See, when you think about it, think about the father relationship, a good father relationship. Think about what that looks like, because it helps. So, when my son turned 16, he may want a red sports car that goes 180 miles an hour. Well, guess what? He may want it, but he ain't getting it. Right? Well, you're such a cruel father. You have the ability to provide that for him. I might. But in my estimation, it's not what's best for him. Right? Guys, listen. I've told you this before. This whole needs and wants thing. It's not necessarily, okay? It's not necessarily this whole picture of making a child happy. I've told you this before. It is not the goal of a parent to make their children happy. That is what you hear in our world today. God's desire for your life is not to make you happy. You ultimately will be happy. But it's to build into you. Okay? The scripture teaches us that He is growing us into the likeness of His Son. Do you believe that sometimes it takes painful things in order to truly grow? Of course. If you've ever been in athletics, you know. Right? There's even the saying, no pain, no gain. But if we deliver our children out of every painful situation, then how are they going to grow strong? How are they going to rise to a new level? How's that going to happen if we go rescuing them? So it's interesting how a parent looks at things if you truly are about what's best for them. So this is this provisional nature of prayer. Therefore, you can go to God with things, needs. The scripture teaches that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. So God's going to provide those things for you. Okay? Those things are going to happen. But the rest of it becomes this picture. You know, if I look into my kid's life and I see that they've grown and I've seen that they've matured to a point, yeah. If they want something and I have the ability to give it to them, and I know they can handle it emotionally, maturely, knock yourself out. Hey, Dad, can we run down to whatever, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night? Now, if they're 8 years old, probably no. But if they're 18 and have proven themselves, sure, absolutely, go ahead. You see what I'm saying? This provisional nature. I think the reason I'm spending so much time on this is because people get real disappointed when they pray and ask God for something and He doesn't give it to them. Well, again, I go back to the thought of it. The answer may be no. I've learned being a dad that word has to be established. No. You have to establish that word before you establish yes. If you're just always yes, Lord help you, okay? But you have to establish no and get respect for no. before you can say yes. I have learned that with four children. Because once you get no down, then when you say yes, therefore you get no down without a tantrum. You get no down without disrespect. You get no down. Okay? And I'm here to tell you, if you always say yes, don't think that your kid's going to just love you for it. It's an incredible thing, isn't it? So it's the wise parent that looks out for what's best. Remember this with your Heavenly Father. Got to move on because we have three more, right? But I wanted to spend some time here. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this next week. We're going to be talking about disappointments next week in prayer. Disappointments. You know, Jeff, I prayed. And this didn't happen. I was real disappointed in my Heavenly Father, right? Let me tell you something. My children have been real disappointed in me at times. You hear me? Well, Jeff, how can you make that comparison? Because the father comparison. I've learned so much about prayer from understanding my role as a father, a sinful guy who tries to do his best. But I've learned so much from that role because that's how God has related it. If you want to truly know about prayer, you have to think about the father role. You have to think about this provisional role. It shows us so much when you think about it. Okay, I've got to stop. Number five, all right, provisional nature, okay? Number six is the forgiving nature of prayer. Now, these are components. These are things that you take to your Heavenly Father with. And one of them is this nature of, this thought of forgiveness. And this is, sometime, I don't know when it is, but I'm going to block off 6 weeks. And we're going to do a series on forgiveness. I'm here to tell you, I believe it to be one of the most important things in your life personally. But it says, but go take a look, you know it. It says, forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Right? Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Now, that word debt is a very good translation. Trespasses, it's not a bad translation for the time in which that was translated. But we don't use the word trespass like it was used to be used. We use the word trespasses that you're on somebody else's property when you're not supposed to be. So we've lost kind of the definition of that word. So debt is a great one. Debt is a great definition. So forgive us our debts as we have forgiven those who have, you know, who are our debtors. And so when you begin to look at forgiveness, forgiveness is an incredible thing. Forgiveness is an amazing thing. But I'm here to tell you this, is that forgiveness is something that brings more pain to people, unforgiveness really, than I think anything else. When you carry things around, especially if you're a believer today, especially if you have been forgiven, if because of what Christ did at the cross, then all of a sudden you have forgiveness, and then you don't have the ability to forgive others, it really, as a friend of mine would say, it will give you hardening of the spiritual arteries. Right? Does that make sense? All right? I'm here to tell you, I don't know that there's any minimally more damaging thing than unforgiveness, but I'm here to tell you, that does not mean it's easy. If it's easy for you, you're not doing it right. Because basically what it's saying is somebody actually owes you and you're letting them go free. Remember, forgiveness is never free. It may be free for the recipient, but for the one who gives forgiveness, it's very costly. Always has been. Jesus had to die. Why? Because forgiveness is not free. God couldn't just say, okay, you're forgiven. I let you go free. Why? Because there's a debt to be paid. Who's going to pay it? And that's what Christ did at the cross. The very nature of forgiveness and understanding it. But I'm here to tell you, unforgiveness is like sand in an engine block. It grinds over time. And guys, I'm here to tell you today, and you know it to be the truth, when we harbor it, it tastes sweet. I love that analogy the scripture talks about. It tastes sweet, but it sours your stomach. And I've got it personally. God's worked on me lots of years for this. But this whole mentality of, I'm going to make you pay. You ever thought about that? I'm going to make you pay for what you've done. Well, that means that you have a debt, right? They owe you. And you are going to pay if I have to take it out of your hide. Right? In fact, I may make you pay more than you owe. Boy, that's some ugly stuff. But man, it feels good. That's why so many movies are made about it, right? That was my motto. You know, I'm not going to get mad, but I will get even. Right? You hit me once, I'll hit you twice. And that sounds good. It sounds tough. It sounds manly almost, but it is destructive. It is destructive. It turns you into a person that you don't want to be. Bitterness sets in, and pretty soon it begins to rule your thoughts and your emotions, changes everything about you. I can't tell you how important this is. This is such an important area. There are so many areas in your life, but this is such an important area that Jesus devotes a portion to it, that you should talk to your Heavenly Father about this. God, I'm having a hard time forgiving them. Jesus told a parable one time, and I just can't go to it, but let me tell you about the parable. All right? Jesus told this story about this, and he said, a certain king had people who owed him money, and so he went out to settle his accounts. And he went to one guy, and this guy owed him 10,000 talents. That's an equivalent of somewhere between $70 to $90 million in our currency. Jesus just picked a good number out to share a debt that there's no way he could ever repay. And so this king came to him and says, okay, I need you to pay me what you owe me. And the guy, you know, the guy said, I couldn't pay. So the king said, well, sell him and sell his family, all right, into slavery, and then get whatever you can. That was customary for the time. And the guy fell on his knees and he besought, is what the scripture says. He pleaded with this king to give him more time. But the king was moved by his entreaty, and forgave him of that debt. Didn't give him more time to pay it. He forgave him. But notice this. He forgave the guy of his huge debt. But does that mean that that forgiveness was free? No. Who paid for it? The king did. The person doing the forgiving pays the debt. It's not fair. If you're looking for fair, forgiveness will never be a part of your life. I'm going to say it again. I want you to hear it. If you're looking for fair, forgiveness will never be a part of your life, because it's by its very nature, forgiveness is not fair, because you are letting someone go free that owes you. That is why this is such an important part. Anyway, so this guy was forgiven, right? You're talking about being set free. When you owe a debt you could never pay, and then somebody frees you of it, forgives you of it. It's amazing. But then he goes out and he finds a fellow guy, friend, who owes him 100 denarii. You know, it's not nothing. But 100 denarii is 100 days' wages. So you're looking at about 3 months, okay? Maybe a little over 3 months worth of wages. So it's not anything that's insignificant, but it's not $70 million. So he goes out and finds somebody that owes him and says, pay me what you owe me, and takes him by the throat. And the guy says, I can't. He basically pleads with the same guy, and he has him thrown into prison until he can pay the debt. And so here's the thought. This is what Jesus was meaning. He was saying, how in the world can you not forgive others when you yourself have been forgiven so much? That's why it says here, forgive us our debts as we forgive others their debts. So it becomes this incredible thing. In fact, I have found it is the mark of a true believer in Jesus Christ when you have the ability to forgive. Why? Because if you've experienced such forgiveness, you feel hypocritical when you don't forgive others. It may take you a while, it may be hard, but it's going to happen. Why? Because how can you be that hypocritical? And then I understand this, guys. understand this. I've been doing what I do now for a long time, so I understand this. A whole lot of people saying, well, Jeff, you don't understand. I think I probably do. I've heard so many stories, so much pain that people have to go through, especially in our culture. So many bad decisions, so many hurts. But guys, you got one of two choices. You can harbor it, let it turn into bitterness, or you can forgive it and be free of it. And it's a tough one. Because what feels right, I know it's kind of like it tastes so sweet. But then it sours everything. But guys, I believe it to be so important that Jesus included it to be a matter of prayer. Seeking God's forgiveness. Now, I want you to understand, if you are a believer today, you're already forgiven. So then, Jeff, why do we keep going to God with confession? Because it has to do with personal relationship, right? Doesn't have to do with forgiveness anymore. Why? Because you're forgiven. Totally. 100%. Because of what Christ did at the cross. You will never have to worry about that again. So forgive us our debts. Do you remember what Jesus said at the cross? It is finished. I told you this before. He was on the cross, and at the very end, he said, it is finished. It is finished sounds like, okay, I'm about to die. No. But when you look at the word is a word called tetelestai. It's a Greek word that means paid in full, or that the debt has been paid in full. So Jesus screams out from the cross, it is finished. That is, the debt has been paid, your debt. Forgive us our debts, as he says here in this prayer. Why? Because of what Christ did at the cross. It's an incredible thing. When you begin to weigh it out and see it. Because I'm here to tell you, it's not easy. I know it's not easy. It's something you need to include in your prayer life, because God will give you the strength to forgive. And do not allow it to bind you for the rest of your life. A person who has and harbors unforgiveness in their life, they create their own jail cell. And they live in it sometimes for a long time. Right? I find out that I got to move on. Oh, you know, that's what I like to say. You're not listening fast enough. So, all right. But think about this. Right? I found that there are kind of like two types of people in this area. Because I talk to people all the time. Especially people want to talk to me on this area because it's a struggle. But they're usually, I have a lot of people that would come to me and say, you know, Jeff, I don't have a hard time forgiving others. That comes pretty easy to me. The person I have a hard time forgiving is, which makes sense, right? Someone who carries that much guilt, someone who somehow can't stand themselves, has an easy time forgiving others because they themselves don't see them as being worthy of being forgiven. But I'm here to tell you guys, if you're struggling with you, if you're a believer here today, remember this, is that you are forgiven. Complete. All right? You got to hear me. To me, I find there's many more people that struggle with that. See, the other one doesn't believe they've ever done anything wrong. Right? They think it's everybody else's fault. And this person thinks it's always their fault. Believe it or not, both are just as damaging to one another. Does that make sense? Self-pity is just the same as pride. It's still an obsession with self. But I'm here to tell you, let me tell you what, the person that beats themselves up, ones that think that they need to somehow pay for what they've done. But remember this, a person who refuses to forgive themselves is cheapening what Christ did for them at the cross. I just want you to hear it. Therefore, you won't forgive yourself. I'm here to tell you, if you won't let yourself loose, he's already let you loose, but you still feel that you don't deserve or somehow you need to pay for it. I'm here to tell you, okay, it's a jail cell. Then there's the other side, right? It's everybody else's fault. You never really see that, you know, you think everybody else owes you. And it's all the same issue. Okay? Forgiveness. This is why I said I could talk about it for 6 weeks. Why? Because think about it. It's learning God's forgiveness for us. It's us learning to forgive others. And it's also us seeking others' forgiveness that we've wronged. And so there's this incredible, I tell you what, it's a freeing thing. It's an amazing thing. I got to move on. All right. Number seven is the protective nature of prayer. So again, these are all just topics in prayer. These are all just things to talk to God about. These are not just things that you chant out, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be the name, kingdom come, will be done on earth, as in heaven, give us today our daily bread, right? And we just blow through it, and most of the time we don't have a clue what we're thinking or what we're even saying. But when you stop long enough, it's pretty amazing what Jesus is saying, this Father-type relationship, and then gives you a few illustrations. But one of them is this protective nature. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The best translation for deliver us from evil is that evil should have a pronoun. In other words, but deliver us from the evil one. Okay, that's a better translation. But if you want to just keep it evil, I think you're going to be fine either way. But I've also learned that a father has a very much a protective nature for his children. And there's this, what does it mean, Liz? In other words, the picture here is don't let me go anywhere that I can't handle. Right? I have to tell you this. I'm not saying I'm a great parent, but in this area, I'm not bad at it. Because I have no problem saying no. Never have. To my children. No, you're not going, no. No, you're not wearing that either. Nope. Well, everybody, I don't care about everybody. None of that ever worked with me. So I've got my own issues. But they're just not this one. Does that make sense? I'm not putting myself up as the example. No, I'm not, because I've got my own issues. But that's just not one of them. But I'm here to tell you, the protective nature is huge. And how many times have we been angry with parents who won't let us go where we want to go, who won't let us do what we want to do, but in reality, there's this buzzer going off in their brain that says, no, don't let them go there. Don't let them do that. Don't let them wear that. Don't let them. There's this protective nature that comes out in a parent. And so there's this picture here in a prayer. Lord, don't let me go places that I'm not going to be able to handle. Right? Now, there's always the rebellious kid that says, well, I'm going to go anyway. Yeah, that's the prodigal son picture. And after you start eating with the pigs, you'll see, okay, maybe I need to go back. Right? That's the prodigal son story. Right? So you have this. Again, I just want you to know prayer and what it means. And basically, this is, what is temptation? Temptation is an amazing thing. There's two different things. Temptation sometimes gets confused with a test. A test is designed to make you stronger. Temptation is designed to tear you down. So therefore, a temptation is one that I don't need to go there until I'm mature enough to handle it. A test is one that just makes you stronger. Okay? If you take a look in the scriptures, I'm here to tell you that a trial or a test, there are many throughout the scriptures. Abraham and his son Isaac, that was one. There are several times and several examples of this. But remember this, the temptation is one that you need to flee. And I found this interesting, is that everybody in the room is susceptible. The reason I go back to, there are certain issues that I don't struggle with, but there are certain issues that I do. And everybody's is different. One of you in here, you may really struggle with one thing. One may struggle with another. Okay? Let me tell you one. Okay? I don't have a struggle, and I just don't. I don't have a struggle with alcohol. I just don't. There are a lot of people that do. Does that make sense? Okay? There's struggles. There's temptations. It's not a temptation to me at all. I just don't have it. I just don't have it. Well, does that mean I'm perfect? No. What I always like to say is that's just not one of my issues. Does that make sense? That doesn't make me, and it's amazing how judgmental we can become of others who have struggles in different areas from ours. Well, I don't have any problem with that. I can't see why you're having a problem with that. Does that make sense? And yet all of us struggle. They're just in different areas. Therefore, the believer is the one who takes time in prayer to say, Lord, give me the strength. And God, keep me from walking into areas that I cannot handle. I'm not mature enough to handle. I'm not strong enough to handle. Again, I'm not going to let my children go to certain places until I know they can handle it. They're just not going to do it. There's a protective nature there, and God has it for you if you're His. If you're a person that can never get away with anything, more than likely that means you're His. Because a good parent is not going to let you get away with it. Okay? A good father here in this particular case. Amazing to me when I think about this. Amazing. That you have a father that you can take these things to. So therefore, finding strength in temptation has a lot to do with prayer, from what I'm understanding it. Interesting. A lot about being able to forgive others or forgive yourself, accept God's forgiveness, has a lot to do with prayer. I mean, well, that's why it's here. Interesting. Guys, I just want you to understand. It's not a chant. It's not superstition. It's a real God, a real Heavenly Father who loves you if you're His. I want you to understand that He's at work in your life for what's best, not so much what you want, which positive thinking and what you want has what's taken over prayer today. Right? Name and claim and all this other nonsense. Can you imagine one of my kids coming to me and naming it and claiming it? I'd tell them, just go to their room, right? You can name and claim whatever you get, but you ain't getting it from me. Does that make sense? Jeff, how could you say that? Well, because that's the picture. Father. Father. Okay, interesting. I've got to be done. Number 8. Very, very easy. In fact, it says, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. In fact, some of your scriptures, some of your translations don't even have that piece. In fact, some think maybe that was a later edition, a couple of centuries later. It doesn't really matter. It's kind of traditionally been made its way into what this prayer, but I would just call this the adoring nature, because I don't see anything wrong with it. Just as thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. There is a praise aspect, a worship aspect to who God is. Remember that God does not need our praise or worship. It has to do with thanksgiving. Praise and thanksgiving kind of seem to go hand in hand, being thankful. What does it mean to be thankful? Well, I teach my children to be thankful. And I do it on purpose. And let me tell you why. Okay? And I've shared this with you before. But I don't need their thanks. I just don't. It's not something that I get off on. Oh, my kid told me, he was like, I'm just not that way, okay? But I can't tell you how many times Martha and I, with all four of our kids, as they're growing up, because it's not a natural thing. Isn't that something? I mean, when a kid's grateful, that means they've been taught to be that way. Right? And so I can't tell you how many times, you know, and what do you say? And what do you say? And what do you say? And Jeff, why do you do that? Do you need your kids' thanks? No, I don't. Any more than God needs your thanks. He doesn't need you to be thankful. You need to be thankful. It's what's best for you, because I'm here to tell you, look at me. The most miserable people in the world today are those that are ungrateful. The most miserable children, you know, the ones you don't really want to be around, the most, I didn't say that, but somebody, right, are the ones who are ungrateful. They don't even like themselves. I'm here to tell you why. So why this adoring part of prayer? Because it's good for you. It's good for you. He doesn't need it, but it's good for you. So as we close this prayer, we're going to finish up next week with this series. But as we close this time, I have a real heartbeat for you to learn, know, and understand. if this little series can help people in their prayer lives have a personal relationship with the God who created you, I'm here to tell you everything we've talked about has been worth it. But as I close this, here's the final thought. You have to remember that there is a father-child relationship here. Well, how does one become his child? Well, the scriptures are clear. We talked about it today. Has there ever been a time in your life you put your faith and trust in what Christ did? Why? Because he made the payment which gave you forgiveness, which made you, made obviously, one of his children. It's an incredible picture. It makes sense and it all fits together when you understand it. But listen to me. I am not talking to you about a church, a denomination. I'm talking about a personal relationship. It has nothing to do with anybody else, any of the religious organizations or religion. It has to do, has there ever been a time in your life that you've trusted what he provided for you? And that is what makes you his child. If that hasn't happened, then you're not his. That's what the scripture teaches. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever, anyone who puts their faith and trust in, believes in him, will not perish, have everlasting life. You'll be his. Okay? So if there's never been that time, there'll be some pastors up here, okay? All right, hang just a second. There'll be some pastors right up here afterwards that would love to talk with you about what that means. All right? We'll finish this up next week. All right?